It's June 13th, 2017, and this is Insight Out, the Naked Truth, coming to you from the Santa Cruz Mountains of California, from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional.
But the truth is always naked.
When you say that, And who am I that is loving her saying that? Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider, loving him as well. And we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition with all its eccentricities and what to make of it, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and the many voices of Errol Strider.
I'm one of the voices of Errol. Well, this is Father O'Malley, and I'll be one of the voices tonight, and maybe the rabbi will be here. Sure, I'll be there. Don't worry, we'll talk. It'll be good. Thank you, guys. Those are just a couple of friends that we like to bring into our program, which is sponsored by Go Raw. Let me say it again. Go Raw. It's so important to have adequate amount of raw food in your diet, and get this, having it taste really good, like a great snack. It's the best munchy food. Go Raw. Have you been in a good argument lately? What about a bad one? Has an argument been presented to you that was so compelling that you were forced to say, can't argue with that? Either way, if you're just looking into the phenomenon of arguing, you'll be glad you're going to be here with us tonight, because the phrase of this week is, can't argue with that. So there's a picture I put up on the announcement today, and there's this picture of this French waiter talking to a customer who's clearly looking at the menu, and he says to her, the linguine each with a sliced piccaccioli covered with fresh torozzo and sautéed manati ferns followed by a bottle of Bongiorno cacciatore di Nostra. That's your best of bet.
Sounds like an Italian waiter. I can't argue with that.
She ruined the joke. She's supposed to go.
I know, but it sounds like an Italian waiter.
I was saying all those Italian things, you know, and I was like, why am I being the French waiter when I could be an Italian waiter?
So okay. I could argue with that, see?
Yeah, you did, in fact.
Okay.
Okay, here's another provocative line from one of our favorite books, the Aranchin book. And this is why it's one of our favorite, because of lines like this. It says, the argumentative defense of any proposition is inversely proportional to the truth contained.
Can't argue with that.
All of a sudden, though, can we argue with that? Well, I feel like I'm in an Escher painting. Do you remember Escher? Anyway, so now we could arguably say that Donald Trump is the most difficult president we've ever had. On the other hand, if you ask, well, Alexander Hamilton, he might have said that John Adams was the most difficult challenge president we've ever had. And he would challenge you to argue with that. Then there are all those arguments we find ourselves in and wonder how we got there. And equally important, how to get out of them with our face having been saved. Oh my, there's just lots to argue about and lots about arguing.
Can't argue with that. But we do, don't we? Feel so strongly about something or someone in direct opposition to what someone else feels that we will argue. We want to be right. We can become quite vitriolic with our viewpoint. Lately, it takes too much energy for me to argue. Though I do, I am still attached to being right. It feels as if I will expire if I am wrong. but I am growing and learning. Your different viewpoint won't annihilate me. I take a deep breath and I open to allowing my view to be expanded by yours. And I can't argue with that.
That's so great. So you kind of encounter the argument. When I think about arguing, what's invariably involved is not just a difference of opinion, I think. I think it escalates to arguing or becomes vitriolic. Like when you said vitriolic, it was like vitriolic words. It was like forming in your mouth, making vitriol come out. You know,
vitriol, yes, it's very...
yeah, vitriol. But it's composed of two things, at least. One is the issue, and then, of course, there's the need to be right, which brings us to another issue, which is, why do I need to be right? Why is that important? Which takes us to, if I'm right, then I'll be a good person?
I don't even know about being right. It's being wrong that's horrible.
Oh, that's terrible.
So the other side is being right. Being wrong is in the way I grew up. I mean, if I didn't agree with my parents, I was wrong. And if I was wrong, I wasn't appreciated at all.
No, you weren't.
No, so it felt like a dismissal, a total dismissal, like I was expiring right there on the spot.
See, well, I didn't have quite that effect, but I do notice that this pride drives so much, this sense of self-righteousness that I've concocted this self that I call and think it is who I am, and it's based on these images of myself and the ways I'm not all that other stuff.
You call it your ego, maybe?
Yeah, that's the ego. It's the part of me that keeps concocting. Would you say that's true, Professor Schnitzel? Oh, yeah, the concocting is going on. It's a concoction. I think this is a word that they use, concoction, concocting. And when you put the two together, there, is that right, Rabbi? Yeah, concoction, concocting. I could have said it better. It's like when you make this self, that's like it thinks it's itself, and it's made up of nothing but what's going on in your head. Hey, there's nothing there, so it has to be defended, which is why... Yeah, this is why the argumentative defense of any proposition is inversely proportional to the truth contained. Yeah? Can't argue with that, right?
I can't argue with that.
But what that means is, if I could explain it just a little bit, is that you don't really have confidence in what you're saying. There's a great big vat of doubt that sits right underneath you and what you're proclaiming. And you don't want to fall into the vat of doubt. And the vat of doubt is very hot. And worse than that, it's smelly. Yeah. Mm. You'll be engulfed in the vat of doubt, which is smelly, because the doubt is...
I can't argue with that. I know it's smelly. It's smelly.
The doubt is rancid experiences from the past, all that's retained in your memory. And it continues to beat the crap out of you, yeah?
Yeah, can't argue with that.
Thank you, both of you. That was, yeah, the argumentative defense. Yeah, so I got this image of this guy standing there, and he's like going, you know, I'm just like, yeah. And then there's this little creature underneath him that's going, no, you're not. You're not as big a shot as you think you are. Hmm. Did you ever think about that? You know what's the most, I have to say this, one of the most, just in terms of having a good argument, because we talked about good argument, this is one of the best arguments I've ever heard. Really.
Anything you could do, I could do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Anything you can be, I can be greater. Sooner or later, I'm greater than you.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I can shoot a partridge with a single cartridge.
I can get a sparrow with a bow and arrow.
I can live on bread and cheese.
And only on that.
Yep.
So can a rat.
Any note you can sing, I can sing higher.
I can sing any note higher than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
Sing that high.
I'm a girl.
Anything you can say, I can say softer.
I can say anything softer than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
I can drink my liquor faster than a flicker.
I can drink it quicker and get even sicker.
I can open any safe
without being.
You bet.
That's what I thought, you crook.
Any note you can hold, I can hold longer.
I can hold any note longer than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
Where do you keep all that air? That was part of I Can Do Anything Better Than You Can from Annie Get Your Gun, and that was Bernadette Peters and Cass. I don't know who the fellow was, but they were fun. It's a great argument. So you could have good arguments. And some people like...
Well, it could have been an argument that ended in fisticuffs or shooting each other, for all we know. I mean, it's a good argument only because it's in a show.
I want to ask the rabbi, you know, we come from a tradition, you and I, where rabbis argued. That was their job all day long. For years, hundreds of years, centuries, the rabbis would get together and they would argue of the meaning and what was said in the Torah. They didn't mean to go left with your left foot facing right, or your right foot facing left when you're going right, but only left foot one at a time. They spent years trying to figure out that thing. And they're walking. You can see the rabbis. They're walking. He said, no, you walk this way. You put the right foot there, the left foot. No. You put the left foot there and the right. I don't think so. No. When you put the left and the right and you put them together. No. It could go on like that and has for hundreds of years. But there was a fun in it, in the playfulness and the serious desire to know what was real and true, and there was a willingness to respect one another and know that it was a meaningful engagement.
Is that an argument, though? I mean, I kind of looked up argument, you know, and it had this sense of, like, someone needing to be right to get to the point where it does become vitriolic, or it's just a difference of opinion, which is... intellectually can be extraordinarily rich and fruitful, hearing somebody else's opinion, even though you may not agree with it. So what makes it an argument?
Well, listen to this definition. An exchange of diverging or opposite views, typically, as you were saying, a heated or an angry one.
Right. It's the heated and angry that comes in to argue.
Well, that's what I was suggesting before. It's that pride. It's that trying to be that false person that you are trying to be. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure, it's just Father O'Malley there. And, of course, when you're trying to be something that you're not, you're standing on really precarious ground there. And the more precarious it is, of course, the more tenuous it becomes. And when you've got precarious and then you've got tenuous, and then it leads right into fatuous. Now, most people don't know that because they think fatuous is off there by itself. But no, it's very much connected to a contemporaneous aspect of all these things that occur to us. Can you argue with that now there?
I can't argue with you anyway.
So yeah. This leads us to the main point of this show.
I can't argue with that.
Okay. The main point of this program is that we have a sense and some experience, some knowing about, there is this aspect of life, this other dimensionality that's every bit as real and relevant, if not infinitely more real and relevant, than the phenomena that we engage through our senses and the sense that we make of that phenomena with our minds. Now, beyond, can't argue with that.
I can't argue with that. It's a lot, though.
Well, I love they use this word now. I hear these speakers talking. They say, let's unpack that. It's like this new term that is used. Well, let's unpack that. And it's so funny how something, words or phrases from different contexts enter into the cultural jargon and become, and are used for different things. And I've wondered if those words are okay with that. You know,
these words themselves may argue it.
Exactly. You know, I'm not wondering. I was not meant to be unpacked, or you'd like unpack an idea. No, that wasn't what I was designed for. I was designed for like unpacking a package where there's a steak in it.
I could just see a dictionary, you know, starting to bristle because some of the words
right, exactly.
don't agree with other words.
Right. And you do not want to mess with those bristling dictionaries. They'll throw words at you so fast and so furious, you won't get past G in the alphabet.
Maybe not get past C.
That's why they put it in the middle of argue. They wanted to put a gri, but no, they didn't think it would happen.
Terrible.
So they put the G in the middle.
I could if I wanted to argue with that, but I won't because it's too silly.
Well, you know, but it has its merit, you know, subtle and secretive though it may be.
I was thinking about a competition, a competitive argument, you know, where somebody really does win and somebody does lose, but you watch sports, and yes, the loser of the competition feels somewhat unhappy, but yet there's this embrace of the other team. They hug, they pat each other in the back.
Yeah.
They realize that there was an excellence that took place here that they didn't quite achieve on that particular day or whatever. And I find that somehow or other that seems more grown up than if they lose and shoot the winner.
When I think about the ending of the NBA Finals last night,
right.
And I watch Steve Curry, am I just...
Steve Curry, the player.
Yeah, mm-hmm. At the end of the game, hug LeBron James. I mean, here are these two phenomena, and to watch these people, like LeBron James is just like... You want to plug into that other dimension, going back to what this show stands for, is the side of it that's there is this fundamental force that has a directionality and it's working through evolution, God knows why. But anyway, that's what it seems
God
to be.
God does.
Right. Of evolving this amazing... phenomena in consciousness and feeling and awareness, and it's like to a certain extent we've like, you know, a tip of a certain end of a phase of evolution where the universe has evolved out of the finite, out of this infinitude of particulates that are multiplied by infinitudity many times.
I'm trying to think, can I argue with that or can't I argue with that? I can't argue with it because I could not come up with something that would be in any way opposing that.
If I may jump in here, this is Barney. What I think you're saying here is that all you got this array and mostly a disarray of particles and things and, you know, happens and little things happening all over, and they get together and they form their own individual unities. There's trillions and, you know, endless amount of these things all happening all over the place. And then this phenomena that this universal whatever it is that's like a, seems to be like a hand that's getting it all together, and it's all getting more more complicated, at the same time more aware of itself, and all of a sudden you've got consciousness. And once you've got consciousness, well, then you're on your way.
Can't argue with that.
I couldn't argue with it either, because, so what this show is about, if I may jump in here, Earl, someone who has watched it, see what you agree with me, I think what your show is about is demonstrating through your relationship a quality of rapport and a way of getting along with one another when sometimes you'd like to take a get to the moon Alice to each other, and you keep working through it and you discover constancy of presence of being that resides in love with this other person. Is that what you experience, Errol? I would hope you do. Well, yeah.
I can't argue with that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but what about the neat, great things we have to say? Well, those are good. People like that, Errol, you know. But mostly they really are impacted by who you are and who you are together. It's a very good thing. You're very lucky, yeah? How'd you get so lucky?
Can't argue with that, Barney.
Right? Well, I guess I don't know. I really have been blessed. And I hope you're being blessed. And I hope you go bless yourself by getting some go raw. And now I want to play you another song that has to do with arguing. Here we go. It's called Not Here to Argue. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A minute. I'll bring it up. Did I say it was by Penn Johnson?
Nope.
All right, well, I'm saying that now, so get ready.
I ain't here to preach, but working for you just ain't working for me. I'm here to tell these stories and then take my leave. What you do when I'm gone don't much matter to me. Been in some places and think that I leave a bomb to smoke from a man with a gun in his teeth. I've lived in back alleys here and abroad, seen the pros and the cons of the glory of God. Seen the pros and the cons of the glory of God. I've crashed on some couches and beached the gits too. If I've broken old promise, I'm sorry to you. There's so many names and faces long gone. Campfire lit nights filled with stories and songs. Campfire lit nights filled with stories and songs. I'm not here to argue, I ain't here to preach. What's a working for you just ain't a working for me. I'm here to tell stories and then take my leave. What you do when I'm gone don't much matter to me. I've been with some girls like me, most strange. I've dug inside dumpsters searching for change. I've hitchhiked with strangers and beat up old cars. I've walked miles of beaches and chased shooting stars. Walked miles of beaches and chased shooting stars. I've run with the worst and I've dined with the best. Almost checked out of life with a hole in my chest. I've been reborn and died, must be forever now. Ain't gon' worry no more, what's the use anyhow? Ain't gon' worry no more, what's the use anyhow? I'm not here to argue, I ain't here to preach. What's a working for you just ain't a working for me. I'm here to tell stories and then take my leave. What you do when I'm gone don't much matter to me. What you do when I'm gone don't much matter to me. Opinions, you know that I do, and I can't guarantee that they'll mean much to you. Still so much to live for, and we got some time long as the glass is half full and these memories rhyme. Long as the glass is half full and these memories rhyme. I'm not here to argue, I ain't here to preach, but working for you just ain't working for me. I'm here to tell these stories and then take my leave. What you do when I'm gone don't much matter to me.
Interesting.
I felt like that was his story, this character.
Mm-hmm. And you can't argue with someone's story. You can't argue with someone's experience. I mean, you may not like it, but you can't disagree with it because it's theirs.
I can't argue with that.
Thank you.
Oops.
I need to bring my microphone up. It was down there for a while.
I realize that I can't argue because I don't want to. Because, I mean, when I want to, I guess I do, or I do because I must want to. But I don't want to argue. It's sort of like takes something out of me. It's draining. It's draining to argue, you know, rather than to just be open to what you have to say and not feel it's going to take anything away from me that you are different or have a different opinion or a different experience or a different point of view or whatever. So there.
Well, I can't argue with that. But I would like to ask the senator to come in and talk to us here about arguing. I'm happy to be here, Errol and Rochelle, and I want to congratulate you on your next moment. I understand you've got a brand new next moment coming your way, and
I can't argue with that.
And I'm delighted for you to have a next moment and to be pretty confident that the next moment will be there. And not only will you find it, but the next moment will find you. So this is something to be very excited about and proud of. But I wanted to talk to you about this God notion because, you know, some people, it's just, is there a God and there's no God and the science has all the answers and you know, and that's all just superstition and old laws. And then there's folks that got God who is like a supreme, you know, authority in charge. You know what I'm saying there, Michelle? But then there's folks like you, and I have to say I'm intrigued. I'm not sure I'm totally there, but you seem to represent a God that is fundamentally relationship. Wherever else that God is the relationship and what's going on between them. And that's such a generous relationship. God, the source, is a relationship. Just whatever else it is, it's a relationship. And it's just sharing its relationship with the rest of us. And saying, go on, shit, get in some good relationships. All right, it's okay if you need to argue a little bit.
Senator.
Yes, ma'am.
What do you mean by God is a relationship? Could you be a little bit more clear about that?
Can I step in here? Hi, Senator. Oh, there you are there, Rabbi. Yes, come on in here. And what do you have to say about it? The relationship that's fine. In Hebrew, Elohim is a plural God. It's not one thing. It's a relationship because even if the relationship is between knowing and unknowing, it's a relationship, right? And people think that the relationship, they get thinking that it's like separate, that the thing that's over there is really over there. No, it's a relationship that you're both in, and that's what's sourcing everything. So if God is the source of life, then and the relationship is sourcing everything, then what I mean is that's the nature of God. That was good. That was good. Thank you. I can't argue with that. That was so much better than I could have said it. And I felt like your description kind of took my thoughts about it and took them down further. Thank you.
Can't argue with that.
No. That's always a good thing to happen.
Yeah.
But the God thing, yeah, I think that's important because
this creates a lot of arguments.
So many arguments because, here we go, drum beat. It's because, and we know this, that we constantly try to give form to our God, and because that's all we know is to make things out of form. And then we become fixated and attached to that form of God that we've created, that we have also given our power to be the authority for our lives. Wow, what a job. Imagine God.
I've often thought that when we give our power away to God in truth, we become powerful. When we give our power away to something that isn't really God, we become less powerful.
Okay. I can buy that, and I cannot argue with it. But I hear this other voice that wants to know, what can that possibly mean in terms of power? If, you know, power is something that comes from amassing. Think about it. People amass wealth and they amass energy and in this world anyway, and they amass wealth and amass control. So there's all this amassing.
That gives them the illusion of power.
But they're the really good amassers. Everybody's an amasser. I mean, that's just basically.
It sounds so funny to be an amasser.
Yeah, I mean, people are creating mass around themselves, right? I mean, they're attracting this, that, and the other. You know,
and the more mass they have, the further they are from the people that are with them.
Well, to the degree that we identify with what we've been massing, making up with as the masses, that's why we're the masses. Hi, my name is Errol Masses. One of, but not just any masses, one of the masses. Can't argue with that, can you?
The 90% masses.
The 90%. Here's another take on it, which I think would be fun to show. Oh, yeah, this is good. This is a gal by the name of Stagley. Let's listen to her. It's called Argue.
Can't argue with the dooba 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 dooba.
That was Stagger Lee singing dooba 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 dooba. No, she was singing Argue, and I thought it was a cool song, and I love that. I love these last two songs especially because I feel like, I could be making this up, but I feel like these songs are written out of their experience, you know, and it's good. So there we are, thrust into this phenomenon, just to get back to the story of evolution, thrust into this phenomena where things are madly going off and flying about, and then in spite of themselves, because they have this big urge to fly out and discombobulate into tiny little, and then it's like this mother, the universe is the mother, evolution is the mother of the mother, father, God, and it's like gathering up its hens, its chickens, and it's bringing them forth into some kind of chicken mutual awareness league or club, and that's why we're here tonight to talk about the chicken mutual awareness league or club, depending upon which one you'd like to join. The league is we bowl together on Tuesdays, but we don't actually use bowling balls. We use mimed bowling balls. And that way, everyone...
I wish I could argue with that.
Everyone gets to tell what score they want it to have been and imagine which pins have gone down and are falling over each other and spinning around. It's mime bowling. It's great fun.
You know, I was thinking about arguing, and for some reason, this picture came into my mind. I saw a hummingbird and a honeybee fighting over the sweet water at someone's house where they had sweet water for the hummingbird. And the hummingbird and the honeybee and the bee bested the hummingbird and made the hummingbird leave. And I thought, how interesting, you know, that we battle over sustenance because we really don't believe there's enough. Even the bee and the hummingbird couldn't handle sharing that water.
Well, that's the nature of duality, because duality will always present the picture that it's not enough, because it's over duality, meaning that there's something over here and it's disconnected, actually separate from something over there.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Can't argue with that. Argue with it in oneness.
Well, I don't think you can. Can you argue it from oneness? I think
as a picture, complete in oneness, there's no argument.
Bingo! Can't argue with that. Speaking of not arguing with that, one of the key lessons I've been learning recently is that to catch myself when I start hemorrhaging consciousness, which means my consciousness has kind of slipped out of my brain and it's like this gooey stuff and it's like going all around the sidewalk, but gooey stuff with thoughts, made of thoughts, gooey thoughts, the sidewalk, and looking to find itself. And then I have to kind of pull back my hemorrhaging consciousness and just be here and now. And it's like my instant reprieve from the strain of duality. Because duality, it's a good way of orienting yourself to the universe, but then there's a certain point you get that it's not really required. You can just ride the oneness of universe dynamics and trust in it, and it'll just take you wherever you need to go and whatever you're capable of doing with it.
I know there's this point in our evolution where differentiation is very vital.
Mm-hmm.
And I think duality plays a part in that. You know, it helps us to differentiate because then there's me and there's you.
Right.
There's not us. There's me and you. And I think that for the most part, the danger for people's brain is that if we become an us, I lose me.
How else could it be the God of relationship? I'm sorry. I can't argue with that. When it came through, I thought, this has arguableness potential.
Right. So I think that's the fear that people have. You know, if I enter into a oneness with you, I won't be there anymore. Well, maybe I, as I have known me, won't be there anymore, but I will change and be there, but more vital and more of me, because I now have you in part of that.
So here's the key. Don't separate yourself from your adversary. Enter into relationship with it.
Yes, and sometimes it's hard.
I mean, like, sometimes it's hard.
Well, it's hard a lot of the time.
They made it hard to start with.
Right, well, I know I have these things, like somebody says something to me that I don't like, and then they always say it's not personal.
Right.
You know, but it is personal. I take it personally. So it's very hard for me not to take it personally. Is when I take it personally,
right,
I exclude them.
Right. Wow. What does that mean, take it personally?
Well, that it's about me. It's about me. I haven't been good enough or whatever enough. And
yeah, me as opposed to you, who are something over there to whom this did not happen.
Exactly. Right. So I have to work on that. I do work on it. And it's not easy to work on, to realize that your point of view is clashing with my point of view. And by that very nature, it's personal.
And in that very process, you're saying to that person, don't argue with me.
I'm going to see what it's like right here by myself.
This is the sound of two songs arguing with each other. Listen to it.
I don't think I can.
Well, it's important to know that that's how cacophonous that we manifest in our lives. That kind of cacophony is how I wanted you to hear it, to appreciate what we're actually creating out there. And I can explain more later, but just listen to it one more time. See?
Oh, it's painful.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But not, but it's good to have some kind of objectivity about it, and so you can begin to see your life in a new context. And that's the other piece that I think is the real good God, juicy part of God piece, and that's appreciating it's the context. What's the context in which this phenomenon is happening? Is the context...
What phenomena?
Of me interacting with life.
Oh.
Like, is the context, I'm going out of my car, getting into the Walmart parking lot, I'm about to go in there and look for a toaster and see if they have one under $22.95. But I happen to know it was $22.95 because I went online, because I'm a good shopper, because my mother was a good shopper.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hmm.
You lost me.
Can't argue with that. Oh, I know where.
What does that got to do with shopping?
I know where I was going with it. I can tell you exactly where I was going with it.
You're talking about context.
Huh. What?
You were talking about context.
Yeah, the context is the frame of reference that we... the frame of reference that we bounce around in, that we orient ourselves to. Like, everyone is orienting themselves consciously or mostly unconsciously to a frame of reference, how you are participating with this context, which is the everything that doesn't appear to be you as you are knowing yourself to uniquely be.
I wish I could say I can't argue with that, but I have to understand it first.
Me too. Can one of you guys put some light on that? What was that came out of the guy's mouth?
I don't
mouth?
Think anybody could understand.
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah. I begin to see a pattern in the way the words were assembling themselves. And he was saying that there's a sense of him and his meanness, and his meanness will lead to his meanness. Yeah, yeah, they are very closely connected. All they need is a little flippy sign that connects to me with the meanness.
Meanness, and, like M-E-A-N-S?
Yeah, meanness. People who have that meanness disease, and they become mean, and that reason they become mean has to do with that, what the two words, letters they attach to the word me. Me, then there's the A, all right? And what does the A stand for on its way to meanness, right? If it's M-E-A-N, yeah, is asshole. Yeah, they're assholes. But wait.
Oh, Professor, I can't believe you. This is a stretch beyond stretch.
That's the first thing is like always. This is too funny. I'm sorry. Professor.
That is ridiculous. That is so I can't bizarre. Argue with the ridiculousness of it. Let me put it that way. I just can't argue with it.
Yeah, that's all.
Where have we all gone? What is happening to us? What's in the air?
I just want to finish the N. M-E, asshole, right? Me, asshole, right? And then nincompoop. Yeah, mean. Is it because I'm asshole? This is too funny, Professor. Yeah, Asolian Nick.
You got to stop. You have to stop. Professor, what have you been smoking? That's all I can say.
I only smoked what's rising up in me out of the fire and the flames of the passion for existence. Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I can't argue
with
that.
Thank you. Wow. Passion.
I never thought you could get to that from where you were.
How do you do that? Right, it takes practice. Obviously, I can see that.
Oh, God.
Can I play a little of this song by Chance
asking permission?
Cody? Right? This is Chance Cody, and I'm looking at a picture of him, and he's like, you know, a Sam Elliott character, really mm-hmm. grizzled with the long thing. This is this guy, and he's going to sing a song called You Can't Argue With That. Mm-hmm.
From your lips, like darts with poison tips, and they always hit their mark. Must be a bullseye on my heart. You always find a way to twist everything I say. Oh, but baby, not this time. 'Cause this time I'm closing down the conversation. Got a one-way getaway ticket waiting on an airplane. I can't wait to catch. Sorry I can't stay and chat, but I think we've said enough. You might not be, but I'm done. You're on your own and it's too bad. So sad. TV or the water dripping in the sink. And if you're still wanting more, pick a fight with the creek and hardwood floor, and go a few rounds with yourself instead of blaming everyone else. Say whatever hateful things you want now, 'cause I'm out. I'm closing down the conversation. Got a one-way getaway ticket waiting on an airplane. I can't wait to catch. Sorry I can't stay and chat, but I think we've said enough. You might not be, but I'm done. You're on your own and it's too bad. So sad.
Chance Cody. So they're setting boundaries. That's what I hear. Would you agree with that, Chance? Set some boundaries? Yeah, pretty much. Thank you. Yeah, it's setting boundaries. But it sounds like it's not done out of anger, that he was able to let go of the anger. You know what's in anger? Resentment. That's what the R stands for in anger. Resentment.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Can you argue with it?
I can't argue with it. It's definitely a point of view.
By the way, I discovered, and I want to recommend her to you listening person. Listening. Dr. Martha Nussbaum. And she teaches in the law school, I think, of University of Chicago. And she's wrote this book about the role of feelings in the public sphere, you know, and how important that is and how different systems deal with that. And it's great. I felt like I ran into a cohort because she recognized the need to do what we try and do in our program, in our life, in our experience, and that's bring the playful spirit into our experience. So whether you believe in God or not, you got to believe in the playful spirit. And if you don't believe, we're here to give you a taste of it.
The playful spirit. I do believe when I move into that state of at-one-ment with myself, especially, mm-hmm. I feel more joy. I feel lighter. I feel more creative. I feel happy. And when I'm at odds with, of course, I'm in conflict, and I don't feel any of those nice things.
So we're here promoting union, chaps. And union is the experience of unity replicating itself endlessly, which is what all this diverse phenomenon particulates is doing as it parades itself in its multifarious dimensionality throughout the universe, showing up in time and space in various contortions, but each of which is clothed in a panoply of extroverted brilliance.
Talk about a lot of words. Could you what is the word?
No.
You know, make that smaller?
I probably could, but what I recommend for those of you who are listening, we're on Tuesday nights live, as we are now, but then you could be one of those who are listening on Sunday morning. Woe unto you, Sunday morning listeners. Because this is just a warning. When you listen to this show on Sunday morning, it will tend to more deeply move into your spiritual selfhood. Because in our culture...
How do they do that?
I'll tell you why. Because in our culture, it's deeply ingrained in our cultural psyche that Sunday morning is the time for church. It's just part of our collective DNA in this Western culture.
If you're in Western Christian culture, yes.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about. So be prepared, because this show is designed to sort of be like a church in the sense to evoke a sense of the sacred and then how the sacred is playing with and through the phenomenal universe, which we call the profane, which was originally a vaudeville act, sacred and profane. They were great. Did you ever see them?
I see them all the time. I just spend the day with them, the sacred and the profane, in my house, and I can't argue with that.
And that's the incredible thing, is that you've got this selfhood that's grown up literally out of the dirt. It goes back to dirt. And in this dirt is this shame, this shape and this form, and then this intricate electrical chemical system, and then there's this consciousness, and it all interacts with it, and this swirling phenomenon that is vital space stuff moving in, newly acquainted with relations with itself.
Oh, I can't argue with that. I wish I could.
We should be. That's enough. It's enough already. Okay, those are great. Those are great. Thank you. I can't argue with that, but okay.
It's a picture that goes on and on and on. And it's very psychedelic in a way. The words are almost psychedelic because psychedelic is like it attacks your synapses.
Well, what it is it's the struggling artist using his medium to see if he could touch into a little bit of that mystery that seems to be the source of the cornucopia that keeps loading up the universe with more aspects of itself. Sorry, I couldn't resist that one. I was kind of on a roll.
I guess you were. I guess you were. And what I can't argue with is I can't argue with your desire to do that. So whatever comes out of that, it's like, can you walk into a museum and see a painting and argue with it? You may like it, you may not like it, but can you argue with it? There it is. It's a sensation. It's something happening that came out of this artist. It came from them. It came out of them, and there it is, right for you to see. So you can't argue with it.
No way.
You cannot argue with art.
That is like so beyond arguing that it's almost another species. It wouldn't know arguing if it saw it walking down the street.
I can't argue with that.
Okay.
Either.
Here's an interesting, I wouldn't say argument, but a clear break in perception, and that is you've heard of, when you think of Machiavelli, changing the subject to Machiavelli. Come on. Machiavelli, what comes to mind?
Powerful, manipulative.
Right, all that.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out, I heard this talk by this Italian who teaches Machiavelli, that he was the opposite of that. He was this sweet soul with the family, and he never made much money, and he had these ideas, and he said it was the opposite. We have such a, so when we think of Machiavelli, the poor guy has been stuck with this persona for all these years of being just what you said, you know, the cruel, devious, manipulative monarch or whatever. But, you know, I have to say that I haven't read much of his books once because of his reputation. So this is the time.
Poor guy.
Yeah. Exactly. I can't argue with that. So where have we come on this journey to this moment? My hope. Yeah, this is your hope. Yes, my hope is... Come on, tell him. What is your hope, Errol? Yeah, they should know your hope. Yeah, sure, it is there. It would be a good thing if the hope that you have, they knew that what it was there. Yeah. I would say, too, that knowing what it is you hope would be a wonderful thing.
Guys, let him say it already.
Oh. Right. My hope is that we will discover ourselves in the truth and innocence of who we truly are, over and over and over and over and endlessly. Wow.
I can't argue with that.
That's a good hope. I like that hope. I'll tell you, I'll take that hope and I'll raise you another hope. Okay. I hope that whatever it is that's you, that's wanting to just be you, Errol, in the universe, as just you, being fully you, is fully you. Yeah, that's my hope.
I can't argue with that.
Thank you. That's good. I'm just taking that in. We don't do enough taking in. I listen to these speakers, and they don't stop, except for Robert Reich. You go listen to Robert Reich on his resistance report right now. When we're done, you can go Google it. And that guy is—he's got some T-shirts. He wears T-shirts on every one of his shows. But he stops in his conversation. I love his delivery because he'll say something. He'll look at the camera, and then he'll say the next thing. Check him out. He's very good. Anyway, that's my little plug for Robert Reich, and we're also plugging Go Raw.
Can't argue with that.
Are we not? It's like to be able to represent something that's so righteous on so many levels and tastes good. Wow. It's like a breakthrough into the new integral consciousness. Go, way to go, Go Raw. What do you think?
I can't argue with it. I could, but it would take too long.
You can go to my website, our website, excuse me, www.thelaughingheart.org, and you'll see first thing on the first page the mission of the United States and how it works and how it plays out. It's great. It's called Uncommon Sense. And you can send me an email at estrider@gmail.com. Yes, you were right. If you recognize it, that was my announcing my email voice. Yep, that was what it was. Good job. And Rochelle, you know, we're getting close to that time, babe. What do we need to say? Anything more we need to say?
Yes, we need to say, for
what?
Sure.
What?
Resistance is what we add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Can't argue with that. Thank you.